Namo Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane, Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Vacharane, Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paskatya Desitarane, Panchakalpa Trubhyascha, Kripa Sindhu Vyevicha, Aditanam Kavane Vimbyo, Vaishnavayu Namo Namaha. What I can really tell you about the very wonderful and very special program that was held here in Jaipur in January of 1972 is kind of sketchy, because Srila Prabhupada was like the main planet of our little life and our various activities. It was around him that everything was centered. And whether you were immediately with him or, you know, several continents away, he was the center point, the guiding force, the inspiration. And then each one of the little satellite, little tiny insignificant satellites, we each had our own particular contact point with Srila Prabhupada according to our service. So according to that, to the degree of your service, you would have a certain perspective on what was going on or how it was going on. So in this particular case, as I explained at Radha Damodar, I had a particular perspective there because of my service, which was cooking and cleaning, in that case for the devotees. But when I came to Jaipur, I was cooking and cleaning for Srila Prabhupada. So I had that particular perspective. But I can tell you a little bit about the actual program, how it happened to occur, because it's an interesting, and it's actually a historical story. Or not a story, it's history of ISKCON. I mentioned this also in Vrindavan, that in these early beginning days when we were here in India, we were not traveling about other than to perform Sankirtan Harinam programs or Pandal programs directly with Srila Prabhupada or deputed by Srila Prabhupada. There was no spiritual tourism going on. It took myself a year and a half to come to Vrindavan under the orders of the Prabhupada. We didn't think of it at all. It didn't occur to us that we would jump on a train or a bus and go separately anywhere. But somehow or other, two of my god sisters, Srimati and Kashalya, became very deeply inspired by the history of Radha Govinda, and they became really determined to see Radha Govinda. So they kind of broke the pattern at that time, and on their own they came to Jaipur. So of course some people considered that they were probably in Maya because they were doing their own thing. However, when they got here, just two ladies on their own, they found a town that was centered around their most wonderful lordship, Sri Sri Radha Govinda, as Maharaj was narrating earlier today. And I would have to say it was even more intense and more concentrated. It was like 30 years ago, almost. Not so much commercialism. And certainly they had not seen hardly any foreigners. So when these two girls came to the mandir and showed up on Mangal Arti and just stayed and stayed the whole entire day, some persons began to speak with them. And of course, they could only reply by speaking about Srila Prabhupada and his mission. And as each consecutive day passed, they would meet another person and another person. And they would be invited to these persons' home and to take prasad, as is a very nice custom here. And they began to think, this is an ideal place for Srila Prabhupada to come and have a pandal program. But generally, the pandal programs took several months to organize, to fundraise, to schedule Srila Prabhupada's time. It would take several months to put together a pandal program. It took a whole team of people just to go out and raise the Lakshmi to finance the pandal program. And there they were, just two renegade Matajis on their own in Jayapur. But they became more and more inspired with the idea. So they spoke to some of these people, and there were meetings, a few influential persons. And they responded favorably. They informed them how well the programs had been in Delhi and in Bombay, Gorakhpur, Surat, other places we had been. So they were interested, definitely. So they sent a message to Srila Prabhupada asking, would he consider to come here? And at that point in time, we didn't know. In fact, I only found out about 2 years ago that Srila Prabhupada had come here to Jayapur to take permission and the blessings of Sri Sri Radha Govinda right before his departure to Calcutta to leave for America. So none of us were aware of this very deep connection between Prabhupada, ISKCON, and Jayapur. And Prabhupada, he read their letter. I remember he asked Shamsundar, what do you think? And I remember Shamsundar thought, that wherever there's a reception, that's a good place to go. And he had mentioned to me, because he was the secretary at that time, he casually mentioned to me that these girls, my friends, were here and maybe we would all be going. So it turned out to be a very fantastic situation. Without a whole team of ISKCON people raising money, without any help whatsoever from the devotees, these two ladies managed to get an entire program together for Srila Prabhupada, completely with the help of the local people. It was the local people who went out and collected the money, who made the arrangements, who got their permission to have the pandal program right here in the grounds of Govindaji Mandir, who made all arrangements for Prabhupada's coming to Jaipur. Actually, I believe they paid for, we all came by buses and trains, but he actually came, I think they flew him in. And this was, of course, some of the senior godbrothers at the time, when they heard Prabhupada was considering to come here and that it was only, Kashali and Srimati who were here, were like saying, what is this? What is going to happen? And they were actually trying to dissuade Srila Prabhupada from coming, thinking it would be nothing short of a disaster. As Radhana Swami is very careful about not mentioning names, I will also not mention names of this particularly one very well-known personality. So Srila Prabhupada came, and it was simple. It wasn't, like this fantastic Bombay pandal with, the big lights and huge banners and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands. But there were thousands of people, to be sure. The pandal was fairly simple. And Srila Prabhupada was staying in a little cupola as you first enter the gate on the right. So I went there today. Normally the gate's locked, but it was open. So I went in, and then I went into the actual cupola. The lock was there, but it was open, so I went in. And then this man came, and I said I wanted to look in the rooms. The girls explained that I had been here with my Gurudev, so he opened the room where Prabhupada actually stayed. And it's right now kind of being used for a storage area. There's all kinds of like nice storage things, though, kind of devotional storage items. But it was an octagonal shaped. When you first come in, so you enter through the gate, just look to your right, and then right now there's these yellow, like yellow gates. And they may be open, and may be closed, but through there, you'll see this pile of bricks, which wasn't there when Prabhupada was there. But behind the pile of bricks, then there's this little octagonal cupola. So there's also screens around it. The screens weren't there previously either. And I'm sure they put the screens because of our friends the monkeys. So there's that porch, and then there's the inner room where Prabhupada stayed. And then in the back and on the side, there was rooms where Shamsundar and the servant and other assistants stayed. To the left now, there's some really functional-looking buildings, which means they're not very attractive. And those weren't there at that time. They look like little private go-downs or something that to the left, but those weren't there at the time. It was an open space. And Prabhupada was the guest here at the temple, in the temple grounds. And the rest of us stayed in various dharmashalas. And I think some of you are now staying in dharmashalas, and I haven't seen the ones you're staying in, but I can describe you the ones we stayed in. There was no electricity. There was a bare cement room with straw on the floor, one spigot and one bucket, and at least 15 of us per room. This was in January, and it was freezing cold. And we had been, most of us, in Bombay or other areas where it was a little bit warmer, so we didn't come too well prepared for this sudden, you know, drastic change in climate. So, of course, immediately everybody became a little sick, like we're all coughing a lot. We were really coughing a lot. But in retrospect, nobody complained, nobody minded it, because we were here with Srila Prabhupada. And that was really the whole focus of what we were doing and why we were here. Srimati was a little older than most of us. Most of us when we joined were like late teens, early 20s. But she was maybe 5 to 7 years older than most of us. She had been married, she had some children, and that part of her life was finished up with. And at one point she wanted to join the Radha Damodar program and distribute books and do programs. And she was actually very talented in many ways, and they thought it would be an asset to have her, but on the other hand they thought, well, how can we have, you know, a Mataji who's not married? So they went and they consulted Srila Prabhupada, and he said, no, she should be allowed to join because Krishna is now her husband. So she was one of the ladies. And the other lady, Kaushalya, had joined Srila Prabhupada's mission in Hawaii as a young girl, 17 years old. In fact, when she first met Srila Prabhupada, she was very much into natural life. And he offered a piece of sugar cane, and she said, oh no, I don't eat sugar. And Srila Prabhupada looked at her, and he said, Krishna likes sugar very much. So then she accepted it from his lotus hands. So she was the other one of the ladies who was here. She was also very talented. When we first started offering and singing Guru Pooj, she often led the Guru Pooj because she sang very, very nicely. And she would often offer the Guru Pooj directly to Srila Prabhupada. So these were the two persons behind this wonderful program that began here in Jaipur. And the beginning was a grand procession and Harinam throughout the streets. So they had tried, their dream was to have an elephant and have Srila Prabhupada atop the elephant. But somehow or other, all the elephants were booked up. And they couldn't get an elephant. So then they got somewhat of a chariot, and their idea was to get two beautiful white horses. But it was marriage season or something, and all the horses were booked up. it was starting to look like we may have to pull this chariot when the persons came up with one bullock. And this bullock, you may say politely, he had seen better days. He was a little old and one horn was partly missing. But somehow or other, that day his life became totally perfected. And Prabhupada was offered the seat kind of apologetically, but Prabhupada took it very majestically. He took the seat into this cart. And all the ladies somehow surrounded this cart. And he called for my young daughter Saraswati, who sat with him during the procession. And so then the Sankirtan party was, the Harinam party was in front. And all the ladies were at the sides and surrounding the cart. And suddenly this formerly sorry-looking bullock actually looked kind of wonderful. And actually, when he started to pull the cart, he became stepping very nicely. And it was a wonderful procession with Srila Prabhupada. I know. And that night, there was the first of the programs that began. As part of the story or the fabric of the pandal, there's many things that would go on. So on one occasion, there was just a very insignificant restaurant here in Jayapur. But their insignificance ceased when they invited Srila Prabhupada for prasad. They were a Vaishnava family, and they had a vegetarian restaurant called LMB. So it was just, you know, this little unknown place. But by the presence of the great Vaishnava, it suddenly became an internationally known place. Prabhupada went there, he accepted their invitation, and all of the devotees, you know, now when you come together, there's, you know, hundreds of you, so this type of invitation is probably a little unlikely, but in those days, the numbers were a little more discreet. So we were all invited, and we'd been eating pandal prasad, which was basically rough-cooked khichdi. So we were fairly well looking forward to this invitation. And after prasad, Srila Prabhupada asked to be taken into the kitchen. A few of us followed in. And he personally went up to each one of the cooks and thanked each one of the cooks personally for their part of the prasad. I haven't seen too many of these certain residents of Jayapur during this trip. I'm sure they're here. Maybe they're on winter vacation. But there were certainly a lot of monkeys. I mean, profuse amounts of them. And a lot of them lived right in the area where Srila Prabhupada was staying. So when you exit Srila Prabhupada's and walk down to the temple, it was kind of a risky maneuver because they would just, like, be lined up. You know, right now, so maybe there's a few beggars, but the monkeys were the main obstacle to get to the temple. And it also became an obstacle for my cooking because I was out on that little porch, and like I mentioned, the screens are there now, but there weren't any screens at that point, so the monkeys were in and out all over the place, and they were so bold. And finally, you know, they would grab something, and then I'd have to, like, go replace it, and it was, as we say in English, nerve-wracking. One day, one came and he just took this brinjal right out of the frying pan. I was so frustrated. I went to Srila Prabhupada and I told him, you know. And Prabhupada instructed me on the art of monkey defense. He told me I had to get a stick, but then he admonished, and be very careful, never touch them with it, but show the stick and they'll go away. So I very eagerly followed that instruction, you know, hoping it was true. And in fact, it turned out to be true. You know, the minute they picked the stick up, the monkeys were just out of there. Actually, before the eggplant, the day before, one of them had come up right in front of me and grabbed Prabhupada's slippers. And I went after him, but I didn't have a stick. And so then I had to trade Boga for the slipper, but he took a bite out of it. And and I was feeling kind of bad about that. And Srila Prabhupada actually wore that slipper with a bite out of the heel. And so one of the devotees realized, you know, like, and he got him a new one. Prabhupada seemed kind of undisturbed by the fact that the monkey had taken a bite out of his lotus shoe. Personally, when there was two interchanges I had with Srila Prabhupada. One that was very, like every once in a while with Srila Prabhupada, you'd get a little, like the dark window of your heart would open up and you'd get a little glimpse of the greatness of Srila Prabhupada, his preciseness, his ability to do everything perfectly, and to see everything correctly. So in the morning he would go out for a walk, and during that, and you never knew how long the walk would be because the weather was really quite chilly, so if he wasn't feeling that well, maybe the walk would be a little short. So according to how Prabhupada felt, the walk would be, it could be up to, you know, 45 minutes, half an hour, or it could be like 15 or 20 minutes. And you wouldn't know, but you'd have to have prasadam ready when he returned. So that gave a little element of suspense. In addition, when he went out on the walk, I would clean his room. So this one morning, I already knew it was going to be a little bit of a fast walk, and he was coming back sooner. And generally, because of the cool weather, I would prepare something a little more substantial, like maybe potato sabji and hot puri, something with, you know, give a little strength in the cold weather. So I was getting the cooking part prepared, and I went in to clean the room. And I remember moving the things from his desk so I could remove some of the dust. And I picked up his pen. And I remember picking up the pen from the right side of the desk, cleaning the desk, and I remember starting to put it down on the left side. And I thought, no, it was on the right side. But actually, I'd already put it down. And I was feeling, oh, it's getting late. And I let it be in the wrong place. I went out, got the prasad finished. Prabhupada came back. He sat down at his desk, and I was there with the prasad ready. And he went to reach for his pen. And at that time, he hadn't said anything yet, but I was already starting to, like, feel very, very, you know, defeated by my foolishness. He said, "Where is my pen?" It was right, you know, it was from here to here. But at that point, I realized how precise Srila Prabhupada was in all of his activities, in all of his actions, and how nothing was, he always tells us nothing was by chance, but I could see that so clearly. But more so, I saw how I had actually wasted his time, his valuable time. And it was a very, you know, it was a shock to me that I could have been so careless, because I'd actually, at the moment, like I say, I had known, even at that moment. And I saw how the Western mentality is so casual about things. And I felt so regretful. And so I said, "Who has touched my pen?" And of course he knew it was me. And I had the prasadam. At this point it was like a little bit shaking. And he said, "Don't touch." So, you know, after that, each day, I was very careful when I cleaned that desk. But I never forgot that moment, that seeing the clarity of Srila Prabhupada and how he valued each moment in Krishna's service and how sinful it was to waste his time. At the same time this was going on, I was having this other experience where I was actually having a hard time getting up in the morning, which, you know, sometimes we have that experience, but I was having it every day. And I was even having a hard time even doing my service of cooking and cleaning. And I started to consider that I must be in some kind of, you know, special maya, because here I was, I would think, I'm with Prabhupada. I'm here with, you know, Radha Govinda every day, all the devotees, you know. Why am I not more enthusiastic to get up and do this? And I couldn't, I couldn't understand it, but I just assumed it was some kind of maya. And one day was particularly had a hard time, and Prabhupada asked me, he mentioned something to me, and I said, well, I'm having a hard time getting up. And he looked at me and said, well, sleep. And I felt really like, you know, going underneath the floor, because, you know, your spiritual master is telling you to sleep during Mangala Arati. So, you know, I tried to replace this mood I had with enthusiasm, and I had enthusiasm, but it was just somehow hard to manage. What I found out after we went back to Bombay was that I had jaundice, and actually I was sick, but I was kind of relieved to find that out in actual fact. But I could see that actually Prabhupada, you know, when I looked back, I said, well, he probably realized I wasn't. So when he told me to sleep, he was just giving me some practical instruction. So one of the events that happened here was one of the historical events in the history of ISKCON, in addition to the program, in addition to Srila Prabhupada's presence here, was Tamal Krishna Das Adhikari became Tamal Krishna Das Goswami. Actually, he was married to a wonderful devotee. Her name was Madri. And we often hear the term ideal chaste wife. But I can honestly tell you that this term could fully apply to Madri. You never heard her raise her voice, and she had a very difficult personality for a husband. She never raised her voice. She always tried to subdue herself and adjust to the situation. And she was excellent seamstress, excellent cook. She could keep the house. She could do anything that was asked of her, and she often did. But because he had a desire to expand his preaching, he requested Prabhupada's permission for sannyas, and Prabhupada said he'd give permission only on the permission of Madri. They had no children, and Madri desperately wanted to become a mother to a Krishna conscious child. Yet she put this aside to give permission to Tamal Krishna to take sannyas. Prabhupada's instruction to Madri was that you should worship your husband's lotus feet. So she took this to heart, and she obtained a small murti of, later on, a small murti through the Prabhupada, but initially she had his picture, and she had a pair of Tamal Krishna's shoes. And faithfully, every day, she performed very dedicated and regulated worship to his lotus feet and to this picture, and then later on, a murti through the Prabhupada. And I can say that she was often, just when I would maybe feel down, a great inspiration to me, how she carried on in this very dedicated manner. So this was the site, this Pandal program was a turning point in ISKCON. Shortly thereafterwards, Tamal Krishna began to travel. At one point he came to Bombay with his party. And because Madri was in Bombay, he stayed at the train station and he sent his men in to give the report to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada asked, where is Tamal Krishna? And they said, well, his wife is here at the temple, so he stayed at the train station. Prabhupada said, tell him to come. The temple is neutral territory. You like that? Anyway, there were many other small interesting events that occurred out of politeness. I won't reveal them. Many god brothers and god sisters at this time. The basic program, though, was that we would begin our Prandal program right after the arti, and Prabhupada would speak, and then we'd have our arti. and then there would be prasad distribution. And I think this went on, if I remember right, it was a week, I think, as in 7 days. It might have been 5 days. But I would say that here in Jayapur, this wonderful mood of putting the deity in the center of your life is so wonderfully revealed to us. And certainly in those days, 30 years ago, so much more prominently. Much of the surroundings of the temple have actually changed a bit. There's many houses that have been added around, you know, the temple that weren't there previously. But the little cows that are still there, they were there. Probably not the same cows, but, you know, that was there. And the enthusiasm for Radha Govinda's arti was so enthusiastic this morning, I thought I was going to lose my life when that surge occurred. If we could have that same enthusiasm daily, at every minute, it would be something quite wonderful. So, actually, I wanted to make a small comment. As I mentioned, I was doing the cooking, and I was thinking about this on the way here, and then Maharaj started to speak about Janava's cooking, and it sort of paralleled some of my thoughts. Cause even though I was Prabhupada's cook, I very rarely ever had Mahaprasad, because you're the cook. You have to, you know, do the cooking, the cleaning, and the distributing. It means, you know, when it's over, maybe you're going to get prasadam at all, but it won't be maha, that's for sure. But that's something nowadays I see is missing. So like he was describing Janava Mata, how she cooked, and then she'd serve those who served, and then those who served the servant, you know, and she'd wait, and then she would eat. Sometimes nowadays I see the cooks of the, you know, gurus come in and they cook. And they obviously cook more than Sri Guru is going to eat. I mean, unless the guru is an elephant. And then you see the, you know, them scurrying away as soon as they can after the guru has eaten, you know, in some corner, honoring the remnants. But we never, you know, none of the cooks for Srila Prabhupada did that. Now, we actually have spoken with quite a few of the other cooks, you know. Most of us never had, you know, our prasad was the seva, was washing the pots and the dishes afterwards and serving the devotees, you know. And if we got prasad, it would be when somebody else cooked, you know. And so I could see that that's actually was the right way, you know, by the example of Janava Mata. So I think it's a nice example. Maybe it's one we should consider more deeply in our cooking seva, so that it really becomes seva. Hare Krishna.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamaniti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschasande Sutari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. looking over these last few days together, traveling around the various holy places, I'm trying to understand what's happening, trying to appreciate the Sangha of devotees, trying to assimilate the pastimes of various deities and devotees who existed as part of our history, part of our heritage. And it's actually very wonderful. It's a chance to get so many different kinds of mercy if we're actually thinking about it. Trying to offer some of my own prayers for my own purification. Trying to appreciate the different kinds of mercy that are available from different kinds of devotees. It was actually amazing and wonderful to be in the association of devotees, to have part of a spiritual culture. Especially here in Jayapur, where spiritual culture actually seems fairly much intact. Someday we'll see in many places in the world people will come together in large numbers to appreciate the form of the deity in different ways with different musical instruments. Right now maybe it only happens in a rare few places in the earth, but sometime that won't be that way. It'll happen in many places. So we're seeing a glimpse in the future as well as a glimpse in the past. I'm also trying to appreciate some of the interesting types of purification the body is giving. Trying to hang in there, as they say. So I really don't have a lot much more to say. So I'll stop at this point. But I thank you all very much for your association, and I thank very much for the opportunity to be on this particular parikram, Radhanath Maharaj, for inviting me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Om Agyanati Mirandasya Agyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuan Militam Yena Tasmai Sigurari Namaha Antakal Paturvyasya Kipasindu Vyayracha Patitanam Pavanidya Vaishnavi Vyanamo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Daya Dvaita Gararasya Sri Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Ram. I wanted to express my thanks to His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, who's kindly given me the opportunity to participate in this yatra and in general to tolerate me at Bhaktivedanta Hospital as well. I just wanted to express also my appreciation for Jnanivas and His Holiness Chandrasekhar Maharaj and Malti Prabhudin, my dear god sister, for allowing me to participate in this yatra and get there a certain wonderful association. I wanted to express how much I appreciate to be participating in the spiritual culture, particularly here in India. In the beginning of our Krishna consciousness, we were directly starting with book distribution, and sometimes we had to defend Krishna and Krishna consciousness and represent the culture of India without actually knowing the depth of our spiritual heritage, because we haven't been in India then. I remember also His Holiness Sridhar Nanda Maharaj once in New Dwarka was saying that Prabhupada, before I don't know which mahotsav it was, but it was I can't remember which mahotsav, it was a big mahotsav in which Srila Prabhupada gave a lecture, and he was saying we are far, that was in Gainesville, Florida, and he was saying we were far, far away from the hub of the universe, from the center of the universe, Sri Vrindavan Dham. And Vidyananda Maharaj was expressing at that time that he was so astonished because Americans, they always think they're the center of the universe and America's the center of the universe, and they have never heard about Vrindavan Dham, you know. But Prabhupada turned around and put it into the right perspective and was saying, you know, Sri Vrindavan Dham is actually the center of the universe and everything else is far, far away. No one will have had ever heard of Gainesville, Florida, in Vrindavan Dham. And so then, you know, our mind became, you know, properly, the perspective was being put rightly. And over the years also, you know, in Prabhupada's lectures, the love for Sri Vrindavan Dham came out so much. And then when we finally were able to come to Vrindavan Dham and see the temples of Madan Mohanji, Govindaji and Gopinathji and Radha Shamasundar and Shamananda Shamasundar Mandir and then our Shamasundar Mandir and Krishna Balaram Mandir, and to go out on yatras with Indian devotees who are so enthusiastic, and then see the outer culture, also the other Vaishnavas from, you know, who are in the streets watching the yatra, for example, see how enthusiastic they were. Only then I could understand what this actually meant, was what great, wonderful culture this is, and the depth of the Vaishnava Acharyas, the heritage that we come from. And I felt very fortunate after that. Before, it was only Prabhupada himself who presented the culture. And when we, for example, in a Rath Yatra would go in a procession in the street, the outer culture, the outer people, they were watching, sometimes curiously, sometimes, you know, suspiciously, you know, maybe we are some weird cult or something. And even on Sankirtan, sometimes I was just talking to one devotee the other day in the bus, you know, how we were on Sankirtan, and we encountered people like Rajneesh's followers who would sometimes come through the airports and fly out to India, and then they would, you know, we would have some interesting conversations with them. And once also there was one, I forget his name actually, he was one Indian man who dressed himself up as Krishna and painted himself blue and put a peacock feather in his hair. And then I met one of his disciples in the West, and then after, you know, I gave him a book, a Krishna book, and I described a little bit about Krishna, and then he was so enthusiastic, and I was almost finding it very suspicious, because most people when they in the West heard about Krishna, they did not know anything about Krishna, so we would have to describe everything. This person knew already something. And then after I had given him the book and asked for a donation, he had given a donation, he showed me very confidentially his, he opened his wallet and pulled out a picture with his Krishna, who was a little, you know, Guru Maharaj, you know, I guess so. And he was painted blue, had a peacock feather like this, and I was saying, Hare Krishna, you know. So even amongst Indian communities, we are very fortunate to have actually a bona fide representative of Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, who has introduced to us this Krishna in a proper way, and to worship him in the proper way. And now we are very fortunate how His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj has so perfectly imbibed the mood of Srila Prabhupada and is continuing this mood very nicely. How lovingly he describes the worship of the different deities and the history of their appearances like that. And I'm feeling very fortunate like this to be able to participate in this yatra. And I wanted to thank His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj for representing Prabhupada in such a wonderful way. Hare Krishna. And Janani Vas Prabhu and His Holiness Chandrasekhar Maharaj. Hare Krishna. Maliti.
Om Jnananti Mirandasya Jnananjanan Shalakya Takshura Minitanjina Tashmaya Sri Gravinama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutare Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Shamin Iti Namini Namasti Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirivishisha Sanyabadi Paschatya Deshutam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Garata Sri Bhashari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Jai Sisi Radha Govinda Ki So this is actually very very special place for us, for our movement, as Radhanath Maharaj is pointing out, that factually Radha Govindaji, these are the Abhideya deities. Abhideya means the process of Krishna consciousness. We have Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that these three things are what the Veda is talking about. Sambandha relationship and Abhideya, the process, and the goal or the Prayojana, which is love of Godhead. So our International Society for Krishna Consciousness, as Srila Prabhupada has established it, is practically a Sambandha, Abhideya movement. This movement of Abhideya. Srila Prabhupada is so expert in revealing the teachings of Rupa Goswami, so expert, that, and we are known as Rupanugas, and quite rightly so. When we follow Srila Prabhupada, actually, we are real Rupanugas, because Srila Prabhupada has perfectly imbibed his contribution of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. In Sambandha means relationship with Krishna. Now Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita of Sambandha. Baho nam jamananti. After thousands and thousands and thousands of births, One actually comes to the point of understanding Vasudeva Sarvamiti. That is Sambandha, begins at that point. When you accept Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, and you actually, then when you start to do something about it, you actually engage in that is Abhideya. So this process takes thousands and thousands of births. And if you study the Vedas and Upanishads, you will come to this conclusion. You will come to this conclusion that to attain that perfection, it will take thousands and thousands and thousands of births. But here we get Srila Prabhupada comes along and he says, just chant Hare Krishna, dance, take Krishna prasadam, do some Krishna service, be happy, go back to Godhead in this lifetime. Nobody else ever says this. And you don't read it in the Vedas practically. It's unheard of. But by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers, they're given this condensed after all, he is Mahabharanaya, he has condensed everything, he made it, he is merciful, he has condensed everything and given it to the people of Kali Yuga who are very short-lived anyway. So what can they understand in one lifetime? But here, he's saying, no, in one lifetime you can even go back to Godhead. What to speak of assimilating any kind of knowledge in one lifetime? When all the processes of knowledge don't practically work in Kali Yuga, Varnashram doesn't work, the process of Jnana doesn't work, the process of Yoga doesn't work. And still they're saying these outrageous things. But actually it's true, the implicit faith Srila Prabhupada had in this process of hearing from the Guru Parampara and simply applying it, it was astonishing. So we see generally Sambandha means, or today many gurus, you know, especially in India, and some bona fide gurus also are there. You have some bona fide sampradayas and you have unlimited unbona fide sampradayas. But even you get the bona fide gurus, they may give you Sambandha. They will give you knowledge to enlighten you, to understand what is your actual position. You are not this body, you are the spirit soul. You are part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But generally you see, it doesn't go much further than this. Even in bona fide sampradayas, they may give you knowledge, but they don't give you practical service. But we see Srila Prabhupada in his movement that, you know, it's the day you come, actually you get Sambandha knowledge. It's the first thing you learn. You're not that body, Prabhu. Right? It's the very first thing you learn. You're not that body. Look, here's a broom, or you know, you get some nice big pots, need cleaning, you know. You get into it and you start scrubbing away. So this is Abhideya. Immediately you get established in the process of Krishna consciousness, in day one. It starts from day one, what to speak of thousands and thousands of births. In day one you actually engage, they take these books out and go out with this party, or you just ask people to get, you know, nobody knows what they're doing at first, you know, a bit bewildered. But actually you're situated in Abhideya. So, this is Govindaji. He is the deity, the Abhideya. Ishtadeva of Abhideya. And Rupa Goswami, it's Rupa Goswami's deity. And it is Rupa Goswami's teachings that we are, Prabhupada has imbibed so nicely and is given to us. And it's by performing the process of devotional service, then one becomes purified, and then he can develop the proper attitude in which to actually execute sambandha. It's the devotional sentiment that attracts Krishna. It's a devotional attitude. And nothing else attracts Krishna except the attitude behind the service. So this is what we have to learn. This is what these yatras actually are really bring, that we can really gain from these yatras. Because we've all got service. Wherever we are in the world, we got so much service, practical service to do. Here we don't have that so much service, but we are, except chanting and dancing, of course, Shravanam Kirtan, these are the main services. But we are dancing, chanting, taking darshan of all these deities, and we're hearing. This hearing is so important. That's why I'm always very much enlightened by coming on Radhanath Maharaj's yatra with all the devotees, and the association and the hearing is so powerful on these yatras that I feel so much purification. This is the reason I kindly accept Radhanath Maharaj's offer. Out of his kindness, he invites me for my purification, seeing my fallen condition. I'm very much indebted to him and all of you for being such wonderful association. And we've had so much realization in all these different places, so many magic moments were there. And especially they come in the kirtan, right? So much. Madan Mohanji's temple yesterday. So much grace was just being thrown, you know, just dancing and chanting. Radha Kund, you take that bath, so heavy, heavy. You don't have to say anything or speak anything there, you simply, just the being taking bath there. And all the wonderful kirtans we had, Nandagram, Mahashana, Krishna Balaram Mandir, very exciting. So we can pick up, we can imbibe this devotional sentiment during these yatras. And then we can imply it to our practical service when we get back, much so the service becomes much more fixed, because our attitude has become much more devotional in understanding Krishna consciousness. So Madan Mohan also was such a nice time there, the Sambandha deity, establishing a relationship. And Sanatana Goswami, he gives us the attitude in which we should approach Madan Mohanji, because he himself, when he approached Madan Mohanji in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he made that very wonderful prayer. With straw in his teeth, he fell at the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he's saying that people are calling me a pandit because I know Urdu, Persian, I know Hindi, Sanskrit, Bengali. And I know so many, they're calling me pandit, I'm an advisor to the king. But actually I'm a fool because I do not know who I am. This was his mode of approach to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was a fool who didn't know anything. But not that he remained a fool, but he did something about it, showing us that even foolish people can do something, which is how people... So he said, you know, I don't know who I am. I don't know if I'm this body. I don't know if I'm this mind. I don't know if I'm the intelligence. I don't know what I am. But whatever I am, my Lord, that I am surrendering unto you. So this is very practical. We can be fools, but we're still, okay, I'm a fool, but still I'm surrendering this foolishness at your lotus feet, Krishna. Please accept me, and Krishna will accept. If we're approaching with that attitude, then sambandha can also be taken in different levels. And just with knowledge you can get understanding of your relationship with guru, initiation, you get sambandha, you get connection. Prabhupada said when you get initiated, Krishna recognizes you by that name. So there's also sambandha in another essence. Bhaktivinoda Thakura says that sambandha begins actually at the point of cheto darapana majanam, when the heart is pure from all unwanted things. After anatta nibriti, actually sambandha, he said, begins at that point. Also stated in the Chaitanya-charamrita that that point of liberation, which is the goal of the jnanis, their life, their whole essence, they want to attain that. That is beginning point for the bhakta. It's described very nicely by Srila Prabhupada. He's commenting on Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj's prayer to Madana Mohanji, when he says, Pangu, he uses the word, I am lame and ill-advised. Pangu means lame. So Prabhupada gives a very nice description of that in the Chaitanya-charamrita. He said that lame means you have no legs. Means no spiritual legs. Means if you don't know your spiritual legs, you can't stand, right? If you don't have spiritual legs, you can't stand. And if you don't know what is spiritual ground, you cannot stand. So he's saying, I'm lame, I have no spiritual realization. I'm still in bodily consciousness, so I don't have any spiritual perception. So he's praying to Madan Mohan to give sambandha, or give spiritual perception. That is sambandha on his on the spiritual platform, on the spiritually realized platform. Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuta Prashnat, that's the platform. From that platform, what happens? No lamenting, no hankering. Means if you're not on that platform, you must be in a state of hankering or lamentation. But in that state, he says, Brahma Buddha Prashnam, that joyful state, then what happens? One attains service to me. So that is actually the sambandha platform. Devotional service begins in spirit. That means you realize the spirit within, and you realize the spirit without, or Krishna without. Sambandha is like the Sat Chit Ananda. We get three existences. So Sat existence, or this eternality, that is also a sambandha. At least you've understood what is eternal spirit. You're appreciating spirit. Now on that spiritual platform, then there are spiritual activities. Then the activity begins on the spiritual platform. Otherwise, you won't be happy. The impersonalist conception of liberation is not a state of ananda, it's just mitigation of happiness. Prabhupada gives a nice example. You have somebody sends you $1 million or something, that you're holding $1 million, you know, you just won something very wonderful, you got a big inheritance. And here it is, you got $1 million, you're happy, right? Naturally. You're very happy, but if you simply stand there holding that $1 million saying I'm happy, you're not going to be happy very long, you know. Only when you go out and start spending it, you get your happiness. So simply that realization is not everything. Brahman realization, it's a state of happiness, Krishna says, because it's a freedom from suffering. But unless you utilize it, unless you act on that platform of spiritual understanding, then you won't get happiness. So you act on that. That is Abhideya platform. Then one actually gets spiritual ananda in so many different waves. The nectar of devotion, the waves, it's like an ocean, the nectar of devotion. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Sindhu means ocean. Devotional service is smooth, it's always, it's not just one thing. It's always up and down. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was showing this, sometimes complete humility. Then sometimes great pride. And sometimes great jubilance and sometimes lamentation. Constantly it's, so this is Abhideya. And when the devotional attitude is correct, then Gopinathji, he become very much attracted. Then, by his mercy, he will bestow Haladini Shakti, or the pleasure potency, to the living entities. Living entity also has Haladini Shakti, but in minute quantity. It's not powerful enough to reach Krishna. But Krishna, he sends his Haladini Shakti to join the living entities. Haladini Shakti, the Ananda aspect. Then relationship in full bliss will take place. So that is simply a gift of Gopinathji when he is satisfied with the attitude. And Abhideya is also simply a gift from Govindaji. And also Sambandhu is also a gift from Madan Mohanji. And as Krishna Das Kaviraj says that they are manifested through the Guru. We can see how Guru, according to our progression, we can see and worship our Guru in that way. As Madan Mohan, Govinda, Gopinan, and Guru. He can reveal accordingly, if he is satisfied. So any kind of realization or experience we get, we should understand it's a gift from Krishna or Krishna's representatives. It's a gift from someone. Either out of their causes mercy or because something we've done, somehow or another, they've been attracted by some devotional sentiment. So it's very significant how Srila Prabhupada came here just before he went to the West, that we already heard two times. So I said again, to stress the importance, that he came here to take the blessings of Govindaji, the Abhideya deity, to spread the process of Krishna consciousness. The Krishna consciousness is an Abhideya movement of Krishna consciousness. And I don't know whether it was before he went to Navadvip or after he went to Navadvip, but also just before he left, he went to Navadvip. And he went to his Guru Maharaj's Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Samadhi and also begged his permission. So we see the Guru-Krishna relationship is inseparable. He took both their permissions. And with that order and permission, then he went and he established the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. I was just thinking of some things that when Malati Mataji was speaking also about the deity worship here in Standards and some of the devotees she mentioned, because Prabhupada said they could come here and learn the deity standards of Govindaji, because he said it's a very, very good standard of worship here. So devotees were coming here and they were learning some of the standards. And I was noticing just now, the last couple of days, because that oil, that little cotton swab with the oil that everybody gets, you know, that is a part of the ISKCON standard, right? After Nisringadev prayer, after Mangal Arati, and during Nisringadev prayers, they offer that. But the authorized deity worship book came out a few years ago, that it said that this item is not really one of the upachars given at that time. One of the items offered that time right after Mangalarti. Generally this Shungandha Telam, scented oil, it comes previous to the bathing of the deity. They bathe the deity in Shungandha Telam. Or maybe after what they can offer to the cloth of the deity to scent his clothing sometimes. But generally it's not offered after Mangalarti. But somehow or another it became it's a standard now in England, in India, to in ISKCON, to offer that scent after the Shingadev prayers. The idea came from here actually. It was Kushali and Polika and Srimati and Devananda. I think they came later. No? And so they were saying, yes, right after Mangalarti you have to offer the cotton swab. So they established the standard in ISKCON actually, although they were rebels, as she mentioned. They established one standard. But I noticed here actually they're offering all the time. Their whole day long is going on, and there's little men sitting with little bottles and they're offering. So in deity worship, it's not so hard and fast, surely. If it's something pleasing the deity, you can expand unlimitedly. You can offer so many things there. So here it's going on all day long. And when you get that cotton, you put it here in your ear. And the people in Jaipur say, that's what it's for. You know, you got a little thing there in your ear. It serves no other purpose. That's what it's for. You should take Govinda's Prasad. You always better put it there. That's what the ear is made for, like that, so you can put Govinda's Prasad. Anyway, we've seen so much wonderful devotion from all these inhabitants of Jaipur, Vrindavan, and all the ISKCON devotees. So I'd like to also thank you very much for allowing me to come with you on your yatra. I'm being associating. I hope I haven't made any offences to your Maharaj's lotus feet being too intimate with him sometimes. And my god sisters, wonderful inspiration and Prabhupada's stories we've been hearing from Malati Mataji and all the congregation. The nice dancing, and especially Sarinath Radhanath Maharaj for really giving us a lot of inspiration. Not only to us, but to anybody who looks at seeing so many devotees. It must have a great impression to see so many devotees in order, all chanting Hare Krishna. It must give them so much inspiration also in their own culture, that how Govinda's mercy is spreading all over the world by the grace of Srila Prabhupada and his disciples. So please kindly invite me again. Nitai go Premanandi. Thank you very much.
Yeah. When we came to Jaipur to make the arrangements for this yatra, we were totally new to this place. We didn't know anything about where the devotees could stay and various other arrangements. But with the help of three wonderful devotees who have, right from the first day, helped us, guided us, and actually taken the pains to make all the arrangements here in Jaipur, I would like to call upon them. Mr. Shankar, please come forward. Mr. Nandakishore and Mr. Lokumal. These three wonderful devotees have literally made all the arrangements here. The day we were to arrive here, they were up all night till 5 in the morning. Next day they were awake helping devotees in getting rooms and these wonderful arrangements of the pandals and so many things, staying arrangements. Please very loudly in our traditional way appreciate their services by chanting. as a token of our love and appreciation for them, I would request His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj to please give them this. Once again, we thank you. Thank you very much.
I am eternally grateful to all of you for making this yatra to Vrindavan and Jaipur such an unforgettable spiritual experience. Malati Mataji, Nartaki Mataji, His Holiness Chandrasekhar Maharaj, and His Grace Jananivas Prabhu. They have so graciously accepted the invitations of our devotees and bestowed their auspicious blessings upon us throughout the yatra. We have many practical services in our lives which must be taken very seriously. Without a proper service attitude, nothing we do will be pleasing to Krishna. Many wonderful stories that Srila Prabhupada were given by Srila Prabhupada, by his words and by his example. One devotee was living in Vrindavan and was told to construct the Krishna Balaram temple. And day and night he was arguing with the cement sellers about the price of cement, and he was finding cheating and had to maintain honesty amongst workers. Tremendous aggravation and anxiety. And he saw everyone else walking around the streets saying Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. So he told Prabhupada, I want to say Radhe, Radhe, Radhe also. Let someone else do this work. Prabhupada said, work now, samadhi later. He said, this is your bhajan. Service to the spiritual master is an integral part of our sadhana, our bhajan, and our spiritual life. So we must take our practical services with all seriousness. So we must take our practical services with all seriousness. At the same time, if we are not deeply endeavoring to hear the glories of the Lord, to chant the glories of the Lord, then we will never really experience the higher taste of Krishna consciousness. And thus we will not have the power to resist the influence of Maya. So it is very, very important that we learn to develop a taste for hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. And that is part of the importance of these regular yatras, where we come together throughout the day and throughout the night to hear and chant the subject matter of Krishna consciousness. I beg forgiveness for inconvenience. Sometimes, not sometimes, all times, we had irregular schedules for taking prasad, for taking rest, long, grueling bus rides, sometimes culminating at 5 o'clock in the morning. It was not scheduled by our schedule. We planned to be at Madan Mohan Temple by 10 in the morning, leaving at 2, being in Jaipur by 7, having darshans of all the temples and taking rest nicely by 9. Three buses broke down and man proposes, God disposes. Part of Krishna consciousness is to learn to graciously accept Krishna's mercy, graciously to accept inconveniences. Krishna gives us many opportunities for that during these yatras. The unity and friendships that we make amongst the devotees during the yatras is certainly one of the most significant, important parts of these yatras. When we're in our temples, there are certain people we associate with regularly. But most of the devotees, we see them on Sundays, but there's not all that much time. But here we have 14 days of just taking prasad together, chanting together, japa, kirtan, riding in buses together, walking together, hearing harikatha together. We pray that this experience will bind us into a deeper sense of love and trust in our friendship with one another. And we develop a greater determination to taste the nectar of the holy name, to get a deeper historical and cultural experience of what Srila Prabhupada has given us, to develop a love for the holy places. It is very important that the devotees really learn to love the holy dham. These places represent our eternal home. And wherever we may be serving, we should cultivate a sense of separation from the holy dham. My prayer is that the experience of this yatra may be a permanent spiritual asset within all of our spiritual lives. That our faith and our dedication is enriched by all of the wonderful, wonderful activities we have performed. I want to express my deepest gratitude to all of you for making this wonderful yatra possible. Special thanks to Radha Krishna Prabhu, Abhiram Prabhu, and the yatra committee. Who else is part of that committee? I can't hear. Krishna Nam Prabhu, Dayal Chandra Prabhu, Jayadev Prabhu, Trivikram Prabhu. and many more. For us, this yatra is 14 days. For these devotees, the yatra is about 3 months of hard work, coming and going from Bombay and Pune to Vrindavan, to Jaipur several times, booking the rooms, arranging the prasad, negotiating with the bus companies, chastising the bus drivers when necessary. It's very, very difficult. While we were all just hearing and chanting, they were all on their walkie-talkies doing a seva-oriented harikatha. It's 24-hour service for them during the yatra and several months of service before. And very, very... And they're not getting paid anything. They're simply doing it for the satisfaction of all the Vaishnavas. So let us give them a very, very enthusiastic... Whoever's name I didn't mention, you should know that Krishna knows. And you have our deepest gratitude. And all the devotees who helped with the serving of prasad, for both the ladies and the men, work very, very hard. And this yatra, things were very well organized, considering Krishna creating such a disorganized atmosphere. The devotees really, really worked very hard. One senior sannyasi was waiting to speak to me while we were taking prasad. And afterward, he was so impressed how everyone sits and doesn't begin prasad till everyone's served and everyone gets up at the same time. He felt that this type of organization and discipline creates such a sweet and cultured environment. And people who see this, they're very impressed by what Krishna consciousness is, even these small, small things. When one devotee, very senior leader of ISKCON, he saw how the buses were actually traveling according to the numerical sequence. 1, 2, 3, 4. This person has been a manager in ISKCON for many, many years. He said, impossible, you can't get Indian bus drivers to discipline themselves. He said, what your management committee has done has never been done in the history of the Indian bus industry. So really, this hard work, they may not have been able to attend all the kirtans and all the lectures, but their hard work has facilitated that opportunity for all of us. And despite the apparent hardships that have come, all of the devotees, whenever the kirtan comes, you're all so blissfully, at least you're appearing to be blissfully, participating in Nam Sankirtan. And everybody knows how sleep-provoking my lectures are, especially when my health is not good. I'm amazed that anyone can stay awake. But yet, so many of you have performed this severe austerity. to be punctual, to be on time. It's wonderful offering to Srila Prabhupada, your enthusiasm. At Krishna Balaram Temple, Aindra Prabhu was one of the living legends of Hari Kirtan, whose tapes and CDs are heard all over the world, who has such a deep taste for the holy name. He said to me after that 1 2.5 hour kirtan we had, he embraced me and said, "I haven't seen a kirtan like that since the 1960s. He said, "This is the old time religion of Krishna consciousness." He said, "Please come back again and again with all these 1,000 devotees." So all of you, he said, "When are you coming back next?" I said, "On the 23rd of this month, I'm coming back." He said, "Are you bringing everyone else?" I said, "No, I'm coming myself." He said, "Well, when are you bringing all of them?" You made a tremendous impact. And several other of my very senior godbrothers, they were very much enlivened and excited to see all of you, your relationships with each other, your enthusiasm to hear, your enthusiasm to chant. So really, it is a very, very wonderful offering to Srila Prabhupada. Of course, there's nothing we can be proud of, because it is simply Srila Prabhupada's mercy that we are trying to receive and share with one another and share with the world. As long as we remain humble, free of pride, as long as we really do try to imbibe and maintain a sincere service attitude toward other devotees and toward all living beings, as long as we're really striving to take shelter of the holy name and the narrations and teachings of the Lord, then together at every moment we could make spiritual progress back home, back to Godhead, and we can influence so many other people to do the same. So let us all place our heads at the lotus feet of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, because it was by His sacrifice, by His love, by His compassion, that all these auspicious opportunities have come into our lives. It is by His mercy and His prayers to Sri Radha Govinda that we have each other. We have the holy name. We have the holy Dham. We have the path of pure devotional service. And let us bow our heads at the lotus feet of all the assembled Vaishnavas who are supporting and sustaining our spiritual lives. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutade Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamani Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vashtatyate Shatara Bancha Kalpata Dubyascha Kripa Sindubya Evacha Patithanam Bhavani Vyo Vaishnave Vyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nithananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivashari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. The schedule is immediately after this discussion, we will take prasad. Immediately after prasad, there are buses waiting to take us to the Radha Madhav temple, worshipable deity of Srila Jayadev Goswami, author of Gita Govinda, Das Avatar Stotra, one of the authors who most inspired the love of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After going to the Radha Madhav temple, the buses will bring us to either Radha Damodar or Radha Govinda temple. At that time, we will have the same Harinam procession we had yesterday, visiting all the temples. Now, for those of you who want to join the Harinam procession, please do. For those who want to just individually or small groups go to temples, you are welcome to do that. For those of you who want to go shopping in Jaipur, you can do that. For those of you who want to look at all the pink buildings, you can do that. In other words, you're free to do as you like. But the Harinam procession will go to Radha Govinda temple, Radha Damodar temple, Radha Vinod temple, and Radha Gopinath temple, as we did last night. And then you can take rest. And for those of you who are inspired to do so, come to Mangal Arati tomorrow. I'll be leaving at 4 o'clock tomorrow morning, so this will be my last chance to offer my obeisances to all of you. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna. I just need about 2 minutes of your time. While our spiritual master Radhana Swami Maharaj was very wonderfully appreciating the services of all the devotees who have participated and rendered very valuable seva to the entire yatra to make it so wonderful the way it is we have experienced over the last 14 days. And this we have seen as something which he does regularly in all the yatras, Pune Yatra, every time. After yatra is over, he thanks everybody. Every single participant from his heart, he thanks us. I may not be the right person to say this because of my small stature. However, I'm taking this little courage from my heart to say that actually we need to all express our gratitude, our deep sense of appreciation for what he is doing for all of us. Whatever little taste we have got in Krishna consciousness for anything, practically anything, whether it is hearing, chanting, deities, dham, is because we see his wonderful example in front of us. Because he loves Vrindavan Dham so much, we have a slight amount of so-called attachment to Vrindavan Dham. Because he loves the holy name, loves to chant and dance during the Hari Kirtan, we feel inspired to do the same also. So, even though it is certainly true that it is a parampara who is blessing us with their causeless mercy, but we should also be very much aware, I feel, that the person who is actually carrying this infinite mercy to all of us, the media itself, is very important. So, I'm not so well worded in what I'm trying to say, but I hope you can understand my sentiment of the heart. So let us, again in a traditional style, thank Radhana Swami Maharaj very loudly, with great feeling, for all that he has been doing for us, for not just this yatra, but over the years consistently. Haribo.
Haribo! Haribo! Radharaj Swami Maharaj ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Sri Gaur Bhakta Vrind ki, Radha Gopinath Bhakta Samaj ki, Harinam Sankirtan ki, Gaur Premanandi.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.